Speaking of democracy, people expect certain things when they vote, chief among them that their vote and everyone else's will count and will be accurately counted. Also that the vote will be private. As Boulder County moves forward with selecting a new voting system, a local citizens group is raising concerns over the security, the stability, and the privacy of the systems under consideration. Three members of Citizens for Verifiable Voting are with us in the studio to share their concerns. Ralph Schnellvar, Neil McBurnett, and Joe Pizzillo are all with us. Joe is also a KGNU volunteer, and we welcome you all to KGNU.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Let's start by, you guys will be having a meeting next Wednesday evening, and we'll give people the details on that in a little bit, but we recall that after various fiascos in Florida and other places during the 2000 elections, Congress passed and President Bush signed something called the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. That legislation is apparently part of what's driving this process towards selecting new voting systems in Boulder County and elsewhere. I'll put this out to any of you, maybe start with you, Joe Pizzillo. What is HAVA and what does it require?
Well, I first should say I'm not an expert on HAVA. HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, which was passed after the 2000 election, mandates a number of different things and provides some financing or funding for counties to make the transition from paper ballot systems to electronic touchscreen systems, DRE as they're called, direct record electronic. And as part of that, so there's an incentive there for counties to participate quickly to get the matching federal funding to help pay for some of these machines. HAVA also outlaws punch card ballots and I believe butterfly ballots as well. And Neil, or you may have more information on HAVA specifically.
Neither, I don't.
Yeah, and so basically what happened with HAVA was because it provides this money for the counties to make this upgrade, counties across the country are in the process of evaluating and beginning to upgrade their voting systems. Here in Boulder County, that process is well underway. In fact, the county is down to four finalists and expects to be making a decision on one of those four finalists here in the very near future, I believe within the next 4 to 6 weeks. A number of us met through the public meetings that the county held to evaluate these voting systems. We, as a group of citizens, independently just started meeting. We've had the meeting coming up on Wednesday will be our third meeting. And we're very concerned about the security of the four systems that are presented. We're concerned about the proprietary nature of the systems. But fundamentally, I think we're very concerned about the fact that electronic voting stands to eliminate the paper ballot, which will make it, especially in Colorado, virtually impossible to have an accurate recall should that be necessary.
Let me just jump in and say that under Colorado law, when you do a recount, the recount has to be done in exactly the same way as the original vote, as the original count. So even if you did have paper ballots being generated, you still, under Colorado law, would have to count, you know, stuff those things in, push the same buttons, and get the same answers. There's no sense of auditing. There's no sense of fairness. One of the lots of members of our group want to say, let's stop this. If we've got to recount this stuff the same way, at least count it the first time manually.
Who's developing this new technology?
Well, there's a whole bunch of that's extremely interesting all by itself. I want to give your I'm not doing well. I want to give your yeah.
You're doing fine.
Thanks. I want to give your listeners a little background story about Senator Charles Hagel from Nebraska. He won a stunning upset victory in 1996 and in 2000. And he went across all sorts of groups, black, white. It was stunning. I'm not accusing the man of anything. But what I do know about him is that he owned or had a financial interest in, a substantial financial interest in, actually ran the companies that actually made the voting machines. So whether or not he actually won, the perception is that he may have done so. It does not give us confidence in our electoral process, and this basically has to stop.
So you're saying that people who run for office shouldn't have an interest in the voting systems that are...
Absolutely not. And what's worse is that Chuck Hagel did not disclose that information.
More so, I think what we're really saying is not only should the candidates have any relationship with these companies. We really believe that the companies themselves, the systems that are put into place, should not be proprietary. We think that there's a fundamental issue with the for-profit incentive that these companies are operating under, and that the voting is such a fundamental part of our democracy that it should be absolutely untainted by issues of profiteering, of political bias, and so on and so forth.
We're not alone in this opinion. If you take Congressman Hart has introduced a bill, H.R. 2239, the Voter Confidence Act, which basically says we got it wrong in we didn't say enough in the Help America Vote Act, and what we need are a paper record. You know, that there's that old quote. You know, it's 8 o'clock. You just voted. Do you know where your ballot is? Did you essentially walk up to an electronic voting machine, enter all your stuff, have the machine tell you, yeah, that's what you voted for, and then have it just exist as, do you understand it, little bits in a computer somewhere? We'd like a paper record that real humans can look at and go back. And as Ralph notes, it's important that that paper record be, in Colorado, it's important that that be the ballot that is counted further on. So that's one thing. Paper is... we're all very experienced with computers, but we know that you can't trust those bits inside, either from fraud or from just mistakes or from hackers.
Why can you trust paper more?
Because people can look at it, and if there's a real need, you, I, anybody can look at it and say, well, we did a little tally, and those numbers don't match, so we're going to have to really look into that. I just want to cover the three things. So paper is critical in our mind. Disclosure of the software is another thing that's very critical. Computer programmers make mistakes. People can be empowered by the software to do things that they absolutely should not be able to do. There are internal memos from Diebold Corporation that
one of the corporations that's developed electronic voting systems.
Exactly. That one of the... after you do all the things that they say in the RFP, that they say you have to do in order to qualify a system as a state-certified election system, it all ends up in what is actually just a Microsoft Access database. And there are quotes from Diebold memos that say, well, we don't really want to put a password on that database because, you know, there was Jane who had to fix that problem they had a while ago, and we know that there are other cases where we've had to patch things afterwards, which just indicates that the checks and balances that are supposed to be there are in fact not being applied. So we need to have the software disclosed so that everybody can look at it. It can still, in my mind, still be copyrighted, not usable by other people, but if you lay out in front of everybody how the system works, the system will have more confidence. And the one critical thing about a democracy is that people have confidence in the results of the elections. And then the third thing that this new bill, H.R. 2239, would do is mandate random recounts so that you have a check on the system.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to say a couple things. One, just for clarification, that's the Rush-Holt bill, and that's H.R. 2239. And although I think that 2239 goes a long way to addressing some of the concerns that citizens have, as we've discussed here in Colorado, for example, although it's supposed to be a federal law, we have some issues in Colorado with the recount. So although 2239 may mandate that there be a paper audit trail, that paper audit trail may be useless should we ever get around to having to do a recount. The only thing I wanted to add is, although Neil has talked about the specifics of 2239, I wanted to really talk about, beyond 2239, what Citizens for Verifiable Voting has come up with as our platform, if you will.
And yeah, let's get to that in a minute, but okay. Remind folks that you're listening to KGNU Boulder. That's Joe Pizzillo, also with us in the studio, Neil McBurnett and Ralph Schnellvar. They're with Citizens for Verifiable Voting, a local group that's come together out of concern for electronic voting, both here in Boulder County and nationwide. And I just wanted to ask, follow up on one of Neil's points on the disclosure of the software. I see the value in having anybody with computer expertise being able to look at it and make sure it's okay. But isn't the other side of that, that if it's open to anybody, there's more potential for mischief?
Well, Australia already does what we're talking about. They have a system where everybody can look at how it's done. The employees at Diebold and all the state auditors and all kinds of other people at this point have access to the system, but they did a very bad job of auditing it, as was demonstrated earlier this year. The code was actually, by mistake, published on the internet for everybody to see, and some computer science researchers at Johns Hopkins and elsewhere analyzed it and found a whole slew of serious problems with the code and with the system that had not been addressed or caught or documented by everybody else who looked at the code. So the code is already available for in a wide enough way that people with a vested interest can hack the system, can understand how it works. The only way to make it truly secure is to make it available to people like Avi Rubin, who really knows how to audit this software. This is how the electronic security of the electronic web works. Most everybody uses a system called Apache, which is published in open source to do secure web transactions with your banks and stuff over the internet. So publishing of source is a way for more confidence, not less.
But more confidence is still not a level of confidence that I would like to see. The technology isn't there yet. There are just so many places. The machine that does the scanning, the transfer of the data between the machine that does the scanning to the computer that does the counting to the machine that actually publishes it on the internet or whatever. All of those things, each one of those places is a place where somebody with a vested interest in the outcome of an election can go in and modify things. One of our members said it best. We need to keep the system simple. Keep it simple. And the simplest system is a piece of paper with a mark on it. And as a technologist, as a man who's been in business for 30 years doing backup software, every time I talk to a computer scientist or a computer programmer and I tell them about voting electronically, they smile. They know how easy it is to get in there and break things. The systems are not secure.
So we have those areas of concern. We have some proposed federal legislation that might address some of that. But Joe Pizzillo, what is your group working towards locally right now as Boulder County is, you know, on the verge of making this decision?
Sure. Well, that's the reason that the group came together in the first place. The county is so far along in their process that they've had some public meetings showing the four finalists. And you'd asked about what are the companies that are making these systems. There are many companies, but I'll tell you the four finalists here in Boulder County, a company called Avante out of the Princeton, New Jersey area. They had a system. They were the only system that had an integrated paper printout with their machine. But again, because of Colorado law, that paper printout would not be useful in a recount. Diebold is another of the companies that is among the four finalists. Diebold Equipment also, many people may not know or may know, was used in Boulder County for the counting of the election this time. And it's leased equipment, which I believe is part of the reason that the county needs to purchase its own. A company called Sequoia, which is a long-time company in voting systems. I believe Boulder County had used Sequoia systems in the past for the data vote mechanism. And then the final of the four is a company called Hart InterCivic, which actually has its roots in Louisville, I believe. So those are the four finalists of the companies. They all have various issues, I think, that have been identified by technologists and so on. Out of these meetings where citizens began attending and viewing the presentations and asking questions of the vendors, it became clear that separate from the county's process, concerned citizens needed to get together to share information with other citizens who were concerned and to talk about what we might be able to do to intervene in this process, since, as you can hear, many people are very concerned that we're moving too quickly down this road. And so Citizens for Verifiable Voting, again, we're just a completely informal citizens group. We met at the library once. We met at the Mennonite Church. We're going to be meeting on the CU campus next week. And I believe we've had about 25 people per meeting at the last two meetings. We certainly hope more people will come after hearing about it on KGNU. And we've come, after our two meetings, we've already come up with a statement that pretty much, I think, summarizes addresses the key points that citizens have, and it also pretty much clearly states where we think the county needs to head. A key in our preamble is that we believe that the current process to purchase a new electronic voting machine must be stopped immediately. The county's RFP, according to the published RFP that I have, indicates that the Citizens Review Committee is to be done and present their findings to the Elections Review Committee on October 31st. Contract negotiations are to begin at the end of November, and a contract is to be awarded, according to the original schedule, on December 15th.
Implications for the county if they do stop the process? They lose some of that federal money under HAVA. They can't meet the requirement for disabled voters' access. This is some of the arguments that have been put forth on KGNU and elsewhere by the county, is saying, you know, this is why we need to move forward at
this time. Absolutely. Well, there's a couple of different things. My understanding of HAVA is that it mandates a minimum of one DRE, direct record electronic system, per precinct to provide accessible voting. And I don't think that our group is necessarily, I mean, we're not opposed to the idea of accessible voting by any stretch of the imagination, but we would like to see that the, pardon me, the accessible voting results in a tangible paper ballot instead of just a recording of bits somewhere on a system that no one can see. So we're not opposed to that. And, you know, we've seen a system, one system I have a printout on here, which they call a voter assist terminal, a system that's not in consideration by the county. I'm not sure why, or, you know, I wasn't part of the RFP process for bringing vendors in or anything, but this system appears to create, it has accessibility capabilities. I see a headphone attached to it for visually impaired voters, and the output of this system is a piece of paper. And that piece of paper is what's used as the master ballot for counting on the election. And so we're not opposed to accessibility by any stretch of the imagination. Our fundamental concern is that there is a single paper ballot that is the record of the election and the record of the voter's intent. So let me, if I may quickly, just give you the four key points that our group has come up with. That was the first one. We insist on the use of paper ballots as the single official record of the vote. pardon me. We want no secret or proprietary software in any vote recording or vote counting machines. We embrace accuracy as the most important priority in elections and absolutely not the speed of completing the counts. And we support election reform laws that are needed, whether they be at the state, local, or even national level, that would encompass these changes so that, for example, we don't have to worry that we have a paper audit trail that's not legal for use in recounts here in Colorado. So there's some issues like that. We don't pretend to have all of the answers. Most of us are simply citizens. There are many computer professionals in the group, but we're not election experts. We're not, you know, we're citizens. We want to make sure that our vote is counted, and that's where we're coming from.
Well, what about the Boulder County elections experts who we have entrusted to deal with this process? How would you characterize their response to your concerns thus far?
Well, to be honest, I don't think we have not formally presented these concerns. I know that some of them have participated in our mailing list, so I hope that they're aware. And I did invite, I know you've had Tom Halicki on the program. I invited him to our last meeting and so on.
Elections manager for Boulder County.
He's the elections manager for Boulder County. And I, through the vendor process, I met a number of election officials in the county. And I would say that they all seem like very good people who are also genuinely concerned about making sure that elections are done correctly, fairly, accurately, and so on. I don't think that they, you know, I don't have any sense of a problem with our election officials, elected or appointed. Our concern, and I think the concern that you hear a little bit from computer professionals, is that as computer professionals, we're very concerned about these systems. I've learned quite a bit about the election process that I was unaware of before getting involved, and so I know that those people are dealing with issues that most citizens don't consider when it comes to the logistics of putting together an election. And I know that that's a major concern for them as well. It should be, so that elections can be carried off effectively and you know, in a reasonable amount of time, etc. But the problem that we have, again, is that we're not sure that those people, as well-intentioned as they are, have the skill set necessary to be able to look at a computer system and say, here are the fundamental flaws in the system. Neil was talking about how all of these vendors that are part of the finalists use Microsoft Access or Microsoft MS SQL as the back end. Most of those databases, as he also mentioned, may or may not have any protections on them. So despite any certifications that the election officials may be able to rely on for the entire system system that they purchase, there's no guarantee that that back end of Microsoft Access or Microsoft SQL is not subject to tampering, even though the whole rest of the system is certified. And that's just something that, you know, although I know that they're aware of issues like that, I'm not sure that they understand the severity because, you know, in the room full of 25 people that we have show up at the meetings, I'm sure probably a third of them would be able to make these changes to the system. And that's simply, that's not, that provides no comfort to me.
Another piece of that is that the audit log for the process is often also stored in an Access database. So, but what I wanted to also say was I want to help the Boulder County folks who, via federal legislation and other things, I think it's going to be hard for them to get what we all want, verifiable elections, without federal legislation that will force all of the voting machine manufacturers to be on a level playing field with software that's disclosed and more things that make things
let me just
more
jump
secure,
in.
Paper ballots, etc.
Let me jump in here and ask the citizens of Boulder, the people who are listening to this, to please come and join us. Of all the rights that you have, your right to vote is the most important one. We do not want a sclerotic system in which people are able to manipulate the system, stay in office forever. Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter how people vote. The results of the elections are determined by who does the counting.
Mark Udall hasn't signed on to 2239 yet, so I'd encourage people to give him and Bob Boupre, who's also interested in such things, a call.
Well, in terms of a verifiable standard, we have obviously in Boulder a branch of the National Institute of Standards and Technology whose business it is to standardize and to vouch for standards in a wide range of technology. Is there an involvement at the federal level of NIST or another agency that everybody could feel good about having said this is a secure system?
This is an excellent question, and we're, of course, very fortunate to be in Boulder with a national organization like NIST present. My understanding is that HAVA actually requires NIST or another federal agency to produce a set of standards for these voting systems. And I know that the county election people are very concerned about this as well. None of the systems that they're able to purchase today can meet those standards for one very important reason. The standards have not yet been set. And so a deadline of something like, you know, December 15th for awarding a contract is very difficult to meet if we know that the standards will not be set, possibly even before the 2004 election. And so this is one of our fundamental concerns as well, is that HAVA mandates purchasing machines that meet standards but doesn't require that those standards seem to exist today. And so that's a fundamental issue that we've got. I know the county people are very concerned about that, and that will be part of their negotiations to make sure that any vendor would be required to meet those certifications. But the fact that they would be even going into purchasing a system knowing that these standards are not set and that there's a great likelihood that the system that they purchase for millions of dollars will not meet standards that don't yet exist is part of our cause for concern.
And again, trying to get the federal legislation that would extend the time during which the incentives, the federal funding incentives, will be there until you actually have vendors that can compete on the basis of standards. And we're talking about investing a huge amount of money.
Millions
of
dollars.
And doing so on this timeline with so many things still undetermined and with daily revelations of problems with all the systems on the table is just not a good idea.
And if you want to get yourself involved in the process, I'm going to be going down to meeting with, Joe is going to help organize people who are going to meet with legislatures at the state, federal, state, local, and federal levels. We've got to get people involved in front of them, lobby. It's fun. I've done it. They're nice people. They're willing to listen. And with any luck, we'll be able to change the laws.
And I would just say that is what came out of our last meeting of the Citizens for Verifiable Voting Group is three what I'll call subgroups. Again, we're not really a formal organization of any kind, so this is all like citizen initiative that's just happening. And so I certainly encourage people to get involved for that reason. The subgroups are involved with meeting the county commissioners, meeting with the county election folks, and of course outreach and trying to get in touch with the media. And we certainly encourage people who are skilled in any of those areas or want to get involved to do that.
That's Joe Pizzillo, also with us, Neil McDonald. Burnett and Ralph Schnellvar, members of Citizens for Verifiable Voting. Their next meeting is next Wednesday, November 12th, 7 in the evening in Econ 205, Economics Building 205 on the CU Boulder campus. Website for more information?
We have a couple of things set up.
You might need a pencil.
You will need a pencil for this, and we're working on an easier-to-spell or remember domain. There's two things. One is a website that the citizens have put together. One of the citizens who attended the vendor sessions has generously donated server space, etc. That address is a web address. There is no www. The address is http://BCV, that's Boulder Computer Voting, or short for an acronym for Boulder Computer Voting, and I'll spell the next part out, bcv.booyaka.com. That's the website address, and we also have a mailing list, an electronic mailing list, for discussion and actual work that the citizens are doing on this topic. And to get on that list, please send an email message to bcv-subscribe. That's BCV, again, like Boulder Computer Voting, -subscribe@booyaka.com.
And if you guys missed, if listeners missed any of that information, you folks can stay around for a few minutes to pass it on.
I'll leave some of this information behind as well.
We welcome people from all over the political spectrum. We've got people from every party already.
Yeah, it's absolutely nonpartisan. It's really a citizens' concern group, and we're really hoping to be able to make an impact because of that.
Citizens for Verifiable Voting, meeting next Wednesday, 7 p.m. in Econ 205 on the CU Boulder campus. If you missed any of the information, give us a call here at KGNU. We'd be happy to pass it on to you. It's just after 9 o'clock. This is listener-supported community radio for Boulder County and beyond, KGNU Boulder. 303-442-4242, the number to call as we move into our open line call-in for about half an hour, looking for your suggestions on books for democracy. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment at 442-4242 here on KGNU Boulder.